This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Daniel Jones here with Cameron Teague Robinson, post-Mizzou spring game. Barry Odom said before that he wanted the event to be a little bit like watching paint dry, and for a quarter it was. No scoring until the second quarter. The offense scored three touchdowns in the second quarter and then added a field goal and a touchdown on the last play of the game in the fourth quarter for a final score 30-0. Pretty tough for the defense to come out ahead in the spring game when they can't actually possess the ball.
Yeah, no, I thought that was weird when it's just like only the offense can score unless the defense is taking pick sixes back and forth to the house all day. And if that's the case, then it's a really bad spring game for your team. But yeah, no, it was a weird scoring setup. I'm just almost made for the offense to win, but I mean, in all honesty, spring games really don't mean much.
Exactly. I think Barry Odom would agree. He basically said he was looking at it like it was another practice, and he was going to evaluate the way the spring went on the 14 practices that came before the spring game a lot more than the actual spring game itself. Now, the defense did have two opportunities to score. They had two interceptions, but didn't they weren't able to score on either of those opportunities. Some players looked pretty good today. Dawson Downing has kind of established himself as the spring game MVP over the last few seasons. He had 13 carries for 50 yards, and then he also had three receptions for 16 yards. So he and Dominic Jacinto had the lead with all-purpose yards. Dominic Jacinto had one 65-yard touchdown catch in the second quarter. Was there anybody else that you saw that stood out a little bit?
I thought DeMarcus Acy played pretty well. He had a few times. He had some few really bad penalties. But early on, he had two nice open field tackles, and then I believe he had an interception as well, if I'm correct. And then on the offensive side, I thought Nate Brown looked good. He had two receptions for 20 some yards, something like that. And then he had the one catch on the sideline that was ruled incomplete. But he had his foot in bounds. I don't know if it was maybe he didn't have possession of the ball, but that was a really nice grab from Lindsey Scott putting it on his back shoulder. But I thought Nate Brown looked really good, especially for him coming off injuries in 2016, playing a very limited role last year. I think he's going to be really important next year.
You did talk to Nate after spring game, just kind of about his role in this upcoming season. AJ Afadale has talked about how big a role Nate Brown is going to have, not just as a receiver on the field, but as a guy who's had a lot of experience, one of the few in that room that's had a lot of experience. What did he have to say afterwards?
Nate, I guess, one, he was just really happy to kind of get back out there and kind of get 2018 rolling. The big takeaway I take from talking with Nate is just that this receiving core seems to be a group that's set around just, one, focusing on catching the ball, eyes to the ball, as Coach AJ finally told us a few weeks ago, and then just being a unit more than just one person standing out. Like last year, it was very obvious Jamon was the guy. A lot of talk has been made for Emmanuel Hall being the guy this year. Obviously, he didn't play today because he injured his shoulder in practice on Thursday. But a lot of what Nate was saying was just they have a lot of depth at receiver, he thinks, and that there are a lot of people who can step up when a guy like Emmanuel goes down or if somebody gets injured.
So Nate Brown had he tied. There were 15 different receivers, I believe, that caught passes on Saturday. He was one of four guys that had five targets, along with Justin Smith, Logan Christofferson, and Brandon Scales. Didn't see a lot out of Mizzou's tight ends today. Alberto only had one catch for 9 yards. Christofferson, two catches for 10 yards. Brandon Scales, two catches for 7 yards. So a lot of the offensive firepower came from the wide receivers and the running backs, although the running backs didn't really do a whole lot either. They combined 48 carries for 185 yards, and Dawson Downing was really the leader in that pack. So, like you said, Zoo's not showing anything in the spring game. They're taking it pretty conservative and using it as an evaluation kind of period, a practice where you can see guys in game-like situations and evaluate that way, almost like the scrimmages that they had in the weekends before the spring game. As far as the quarterbacks go, Drew Locke, 7-13 for 58 yards and one touchdown to Jonathan Johnson. I don't think he did anything really special. The offense didn't really move really well when he was out there on the field. You had Taylor Powell, who was out there more than any other quarterback. He threw 18 passes but completed only one, and he had 116 yards. And then you also had Michael Wilson, 5 of 8 for 46 yards. Jack Lowry, 5 of 6 for 49 yards and a touchdown. And Lindsey Scott really struggled, 1 of 8 with 2 picks, and didn't really make very many good throws, was underthrowing a lot of receivers. What did you think of his performance today? He had kind of, of everybody that was out there, I think Lindsey Scott was one of the guys who stood out for what they didn't do.
Yeah, Lindsey Scott, he has an arm, but and he's not scared to throw the ball deep, but he underthrew a few deep passes today. He had 2 picks, almost could have been 3. DeMarcus Acy jumped kind of a crossing route. That could have been an interception as well. He just seemed to struggle. He just never seemed like – maybe he's still kind of getting used to the timing of the offense or different things like that. But, I mean, the 2 underthrows can't happen. Then the interceptions as well. It's just you're right. Like, he was – if anyone – you're going to look at anybody and be like, he had a bad day, it's Lindsey Scott, because it was just very obvious and very blatant.
Right. The underthrows on – there was an underthrow that Nate Brown turned into a really good catch. I mean, and that was a back shoulder throw. But the 2 interceptions were on deep balls that were well behind where they needed to be. Easy picks for defensive backs that are chasing back there. You mentioned DeMarcus Acy having a good day. I thought he did play pretty well with the exception of some of the penalties. And that was – my story went a little bit more in the direction of the defense. And what this defense kind of has to do – I mean, team in general, but really the defense has to do to avoid a September slump. The last 2 years, the Tigers have really struggled in September. Their only wins – in the month of September in the last 2 years have been against Eastern Michigan, Delaware State, and Missouri State. So yet to beat, a Power 5 school in the month of September, and only one win against a team in the FBS. So, yeah, I think the defense really is a big part of that because of the way that they struggled in the first 4 games of last year. And a big part of their success, if they're going to have it in the early part of 2018, is going to be with the sophomore class. You have a number of guys on the defense that started with the first team today that are sophomores, like Adam Sparks, Chris Turner, and then you have more. Joshua Bledsoe also was on the first team to start the game at safety. A couple others that are going to be there are going to be Jamal Brooks at linebacker. You have... Aubrey Miller was huge today. So there's just a lot of sophomores that are going to be a big part of this defense this year, and they are going to be key in, I think, preventing that sophomore slump. They're going to be a part of it. So that's kind of the direction that I went with my story. Did you have any other thoughts on the defense and what they did today?
For spring games, it's kind of hard to evaluate a defense because almost everything is focused on the offense when you're just looking at it, just the eye test. Mm-hmm. But I think you just from what we've seen all spring, I think we touched on in our last podcast, I think the defensive line is going to be pretty solid. I don't think that's where you worry too much, or even really, I don't even think you worry kind of at the linebacker. I think Cale Garrett's very solid. I think Terrez Hall solid. I think it's the guys you mentioned in that secondary. They're going to be really important if Missouri is going to take the next step this year, especially, like you said, obviously you have UT Martin and Wyoming. Those are 2 teams you expect to beat in early in the season. But if you're going to start the season off well and not go, 1-4 last year, that secondary is going to have to play well. And it was just kind of hard to see today because Missouri really didn't do much offensively, and I imagine they really didn't show much defensively either.
Yeah, I feel like throughout the spring, when you in practice, the defense often looked pretty solid. Looked like the defense was maybe a step or two ahead, and that tends to be the way things work. You know, the defense is kind of setting the tone a little bit more early. You know, defense is going out there and tackling and making sure, whereas the offense is got a little bit more to it. So maybe that's part of the reason why the defense looked the way they did in the spring. But I think that there's room for a lot of growth on the defensive side of the ball. And I mentioned this in a story that ran on Friday. You didn't get to see it today because I didn't do any special teams work today. They were punting without anybody else on the field. They did kick a couple field goals, but I think Mizzou's special teams has the potential to be a game changer this year. You have two specialists in Corey Fittoni and Tucker McCann who are really, really talented, have huge legs and can be really accurate. Their only problems have been with consistency. And then you have Rashad Floyd, who ended up returning two kicks for touchdowns last year. Could be a game breaker. So I think that could be a unit that to make serious strides. I mean, they were bad at the beginning of last season, and by the end they had really made improvement. That could be a place where Missouri actually has a matchup advantage in a lot of their games coming up this season. Do you have any other thoughts on today? Anything Barry said, Coach Odom said after the game that stood out to you?
No, not really. I think, honestly, the last takeaway for the game would be, we talked all spring about how we thought this offense would be much more methodical. They're not just going to chuck the ball downfield. I don't think Mizzou opened up their playbook at all in the spring game, but a few things really stood out in the fact that when you look at this offense a year ago, you saw a lot of screens. Jonathan Johnson almost made his living on screens last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think they threw one wide receiver screen today. You saw a lot of crossing routes. I think that's what Dominic Jacinto scored on, a 65-yard crossing route. A lot of hitch routes, things of that nature. I think so. You're seeing the beginnings, and I imagine it's the very bare bones of what Mizzou's going to be offensively. But I think you really see what they're talking about, and it's just not them talking about it. Like, you can see that the offense is changing. Whether that be a good thing or a bad thing, I guess you won't see until September and October. But you can see the changes.
Yeah, I think they'll be a lot of question marks up in the air until you get to see them in the season opener against Tennessee Martin, and how things have changed and what Derek Dooley has really done. They've said all spring that the changes haven't been wholesale. They're not they didn't overhaul the offense; just kind of made minor tweaks. And like you said, you can see that a little bit. I think you'll see a lot more after they have the entire summer to put things together, an entire fall camp period to really install the playbook. But you, like you said, you kind of got to see a little bit of that today. Nothing that Coach Odom said really, set the world on fire. It's not really his style unless he's really trying to make a point like he did after the Auburn game last year. I think, you know, for a coach, a spring game is kind of like something you just have to do, you know. I think if it were up to Barry Odom, he'd much rather have another practice where he has control over everything and they can do whatever he wants to do, and it's not where you're trying to get everybody in the game and do this game-type situation. I think, you know, if it was up to him, he would want the control of a real practice. But it's not. It's for a bunch of other things. You have fans that are, you know, seeing the team for the first time in 6 months, and games that are on TV, and you're getting revenue out of that. So there's a lot of things that are kind of out of his control in that regard. So now you have a crucial summer period where the Tigers have to be ready to come out in September and play well right out of the gates. And they have an entire off season and fall camp in order to do that. So you have any other thoughts before we sign off here?
Nope. I think that's about it. I think we appreciate you guys listening.
As always, thank you for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter. Follow our podcast. Rate us well, if you are so inclined. We appreciate everybody that's made it this far.
Comment as well. We only have one comment on the podcast as well. So please comment. And don't just call Danny the greatest person on the podcast. Although he probably is. But we appreciate any kind of feedback and other comment you guys have as well.
we would appreciate more comments. More comments are always good. Also read our work in the pages of the Columbia Tribune and at ColumbiaTribune.com, and we will talk to you again soon, if not next week, very soon.
And subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.